Noah Campbell's first time reading Scripture. We're very proud of him. He did a great job. Be sure and tell him that when you leave here today. We only have some hot pepper seeds from Pizza Hut up here, so that's. I kept wondering what that was. It was falling out of the off of here, so now I know. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. It's good to have our visitors with us, and if you haven't been here before, stick around for a few minutes after. Let us get to know you, and you can get to know us. It's always good to have people here, and if there's any way we can help you, any way we can serve you, especially as you move into our area, we're glad to do that and help any way that we can. Might want to turn that mic down just a little bit. There we go. Well, this morning we're going to continue our sermon series in looking at our purpose from the book of Mark. 2017, our theme has been purpose. What is God's purpose for our lives? How do we live out this purpose? What does His Word tell us about our purpose as Christians? And Mark is a short book. Mark gets to the point, and Mark shows us Jesus who is on the move. There's not a lot of wasted time in Mark. Jesus is constantly moving toward His goal of being that example of a servant and becoming that sacrifice, which ultimately was His purpose in coming to this earth. If you haven't read the book of Mark for a while, I encourage you to do that. Sit down, take some time, and read it, because it'll help open your eyes to a lot of what Jesus is trying to tell us. Do you read your Bible often? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. How often do you read it? Do you sit down and read a daily reading to get through the Bible in a year? Do you read a chapter a day? Are you reading based on topics? Or are you just randomly maybe studying certain areas of Scripture on a routine basis? You know, sometimes it's helpful for us when we read the Bible to take some time and meditate on what we're reading and put ourselves in that story. Have you ever done that? Put yourself in the story of what's going on. For instance, John 3:16, you could read that, "For God so loved Matt Oliver that He gave His one and only Son so that if Matt Oliver believes in Him, he will not perish but have eternal life." Or maybe you can read about the disciples out on the lake and the storm comes up and maybe you're afraid and you're the one waking Jesus up saying, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" And Jesus says, "Matt, why are you afraid? Why are you so timid? Where's your faith, Matt?" Sometimes it helps us understand what God is saying to us when we put ourselves in that story. We learn our purpose from the book of Mark. Which characters in the stories can we identify with? We know from the book of Mark, we know from Scripture, Jesus has a purpose to transform lives. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Something we all know, but we want to focus on the fact Jesus has the power. And His purpose is to change lives. Our text for today is from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet Him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of Him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs and allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned." What a story. Wow. Could you imagine seeing that? What do you think? You see, Mark here is putting this account in front of us to teach us some things. Where are we in this story? There's a lot going on here. Mark wants us to see it. He's writing with an agenda, but his agenda is certainly inspired by God. I wonder if this were to happen today, how news of it would spread. Breaking news on CNN: the man from the tombs has been healed. A herd of pigs drowned. Can you imagine how the news would spread? It'd be all over the airwaves, and I'm sure a political panel would be convened to discuss whether it happened, whether it didn't happen, what it means, and there'd be all kinds of talking heads discussing it. But Mark here, in the way he tells this story, is deliberate in proving Jesus is the Son of God. Think about what's going on here in the book of Mark. Jesus has just come from a storm where he's shown he has power over the weather. He will heal a woman who has blood flowing out of her. He shows his power over sickness. He raises Jairus' daughter from death, showing his power over death. And we see here with what he does to this man, he shows his power in the spirit world. Mark is calling us to see ourselves in this story. But there's a whole lot going on here. There's a lot of begging going on in this story. Do y'all ever beg for anything? As kids, we beg our parents to stop for ice cream, right? Maybe you beg your grandparents to stop for ice cream after a ball game or to stop somewhere you want to go. Later in life, we maybe beg the teacher for a little bit more time to turn in that paper. Kids in my Marshall class always come down with some sort of illness right before the exam and beg for more time. It's amazing how that happens. But then, you know, later when you get in the workforce, you beg maybe your boss for a day off or a promotion. People beg us for things, right? Do we ever beg God for things? Here in this story, we see a lot of begging. And I had never looked at this story from that standpoint. First of all, we see these demons, and they are begging Jesus not to torment them. Jesus has just crossed the Sea of Galilee, 6 or 7 miles, rough travel, right? He was asleep, he was awakened, he gets off the boat and he's probably thinking, okay, the human side of me is ready to rest. I've been through a lot. But there's no rest when he gets off that boat. Mark uses a word he uses a lot, immediately. As soon as Jesus gets out of the boat, this man with the impure spirit comes, this man who's possessed by demons. And we learn some things about demons in the New Testament. We see that they give superhuman strength. What's it say about this man? He's strong, right? He can't be bound. He breaks the shackles and the chains. No one can subdue him. Secondly, demons try to destroy their host. Mark 5:5, night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Satan is in the business of destroying. Amen? We better know that. We better believe that. We talked about that in class this morning. So it shouldn't surprise us when we read about people who have been possessed by demons. They're the victims. We see demons seek a home. Jesus says that when a spirit's cast out of a man, it wanders through arid places seeking rest. And these spirits, that's the first thing they ask. Where can we go? Send us to something else. Don't just let us go out. Send us somewhere. So demons are powerful. They're destructive. They seek a home. But we also see these demons know who Jesus is. If you put this account together with Mark 8 and Luke 8, you see demons, they are expecting a day when they're going to be cast out into the abyss. They're going to be destroyed. Their days are numbered. They know they're the losers. And they're afraid of Jesus. We see in James 2:19, we're told, even the demons believe God is one, and they shudder. So when Jesus comes to the shore of Galilee, these demons come begging him, begging they won't be destroyed early, begging they won't just be cast out, but begging that they have a change of residency. And what do they ask for? Residency in a herd of pigs. They beg him. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you feel like the power of Satan in your life is overwhelming. Maybe you're facing a lot of hard stuff. Maybe you're facing temptations to make a decision one way or the other about a big event or big situation in your life. Maybe it's the little things that have you concerned. Maybe you feel like the power of Satan, the power of evil in your life is so overwhelming. If you are a Christian, Jesus is telling you here today, you do not have to fear Satan. Amen? If we're on our own, we better be afraid. If you're not a Christian, you better be afraid, because Satan will destroy you. It's not if, but he will. But when we belong to Jesus, when we belong to God, we have the promise from Scripture, greater is he that is in you than he who is living in the world. Satan's in the business of destroying. But James 4:7, as Noah read for us so well this morning, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here we see the purpose of Jesus. Before we were saved, we were in the clutches of Satan, naked, homeless, without hope, sold over to Satan, just like this man who was possessed with the demons. But Jesus has power over Satan. How many people who had the ability to hear this man crying out at night could believe that Jesus would make him normal? Normal, right? Who would believe that he could ever be healed? Think of the most lost person you're around and ask yourself, can Jesus make a difference in his or her life? Can that person be healed? Can they be made normal? You know, if we're going to make a difference and make an effort to make a difference in our community, we have got to believe in Jesus' power to transform lives. Sometimes we doubt that, though. He has a purpose to transform lives. It is our purpose to believe that and help people see that. The power of Jesus has these demons begging. We see other begging going on here. We see the people of the area beg Jesus to leave. Mark chapter 5, beginning of verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Think about that. Pretty ironic. The demons beg, don't send us out into the abyss, and Jesus grants their request and sends them into the pigs. And then a few verses later, the people say, Jesus, get out of here, we're afraid. And that request also is granted. But I get the idea that this was maybe a whistle stop on Jesus' tour. I think maybe he might have been there a couple of hours. I don't know, but you kind of get that feeling. He may have not been there real long. But what was their problem? Why'd they want him to leave? We're told they were afraid. Now imagine this. They know who this man is. They hear him crying out at night. They know people have tried to bind him up and put him away, but no one can do it. That doesn't scare them. But what does scare them is when they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, dressed, clean, and in his right mind. We're told they become afraid. Here was a man who had been able to shatter the shackles off his feet and his hands and his legs. And Jesus had overpowered that. Now he's calmly sitting at the feet of Jesus. Would you trust him? Would you trust the man who had the power to overcome all that? Would you trust the man who'd taken control of all this? These people were afraid in the power Jesus had to transform this man's life. They were afraid of the person who could bring about such a radical change in this demon-possessed man. Let's make it a little more personal for us, though. What kind of change can Jesus make in me? What kind of change can he make in you, in your children, in your spouses, in your co-workers? There are a lot of people afraid of Jesus' power to transform lives. Sometimes we become afraid because we think maybe we're just too far gone. He really can't change us. Maybe we doubt that. Or maybe we're afraid he will change us, and it might cost us something on this earth. It might cost something that we like to do, or maybe we're good at. But church, Jesus didn't die to give us less. He died to give us more. We got to remember that. What is it about the ability of Jesus to transform lives that makes us afraid to trust him and makes us afraid sometimes to trust the people he changes? Do we not trust him that he can change the worst of the worst and make them fit for his body? He can. One thing that's sad to me about this story is that when you read this, you know that no one but Jesus cares at all about this man. Think about that. He was a lost cause. He was chalked up. He was done. He was trash, right? They didn't care. But let's look at this from a business angle as well. Here's a herd of pigs. I've never seen 2,000 pigs in one place. Has anybody else? That's a lot of pigs, right? And suddenly, the people tending the pigs, the people whose job it is to keep the pigs safe, to make sure they're where they need to be, they suddenly see these pigs go crazy, jump off into a lake, and drown. Deviled ham. Sorry. I put that in, I scratched it out, I put it back. I should have left it out. But after these people hear what's happened, they beg Jesus to leave. We're told they were afraid, but don't you think some of them were mad? Jesus, you're bad for business. You drowned my pigs. I can't sell these pigs at market. This cost me dearly. But before we get down too much on these people who've asked Jesus to leave, we need to look inside. Don't we do the same thing sometimes? Jesus, just let me be for a minute. I got to take care of something. I've got to respond in a way that isn't right, and I know that, so just give me a break for a moment. I want to go out with my friends, or I want to go out on a date tonight, so Jesus, I'll talk to you tomorrow, but I just need a break from all this for a while. If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we ask Jesus to leave. The point is, when you see the power of Jesus, when you have experienced that in your life, don't let the unimportant matters of this world send that power away. Don't turn your back on Jesus. We're told he'll never leave us or forsake us, but we also know we sure can leave him if we make that choice. These people begged Jesus to leave, and they did. But there was another type of begging that we see here at the end of this story. The healed man, the man who had been made well, begs Jesus, "Let me come with you." Mark chapter 5, verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Church, this shows the power of Jesus to transform lives. Here's this man who's demon-possessed. Breaks chains, can't be dealt with, garbage to most people. Now he's not only changed outwardly, but his heart has been changed to the point he wants to go with Jesus. Now think about you if you were that man and your life had been turned upside down because of these demons. Would you maybe not want to go back to your family and tell them, "Hey, I'm better"? Maybe go back to your property if you had any, or your job, and maybe get back to your life. This man's first reaction when he'd been cured, "Jesus, let me go with you." This man's natural reaction was to be with Jesus. Jesus had a better idea. Jesus had to leave the area. He was ready for that part of the country to hear the gospel, but how would the message get told? It got told then the same way it gets told today, church, by the people Jesus has changed. It wasn't right. It's not right that we just shut ourselves off to be with Jesus. Our job is to be out there and tell the world our story of how he's transformed us, how he's changed our lives. He tells this man, he tells us today, go home to your family, go home to your country, go home to your coworkers, go home to your spheres of influence and tell them what the Lord has done for you. That commands for us, church. This healed man was faithful. He went to the nearest city. And everyone was amazed, we're told. Not by this man, but by the power Jesus had to make this transformation. Jesus certainly accomplished his purpose in this story. He changed this man, and other people knew about that change because of it. Jesus has a purpose to transform lives. Where are you in this story? Where am I? Are you begging Jesus not to destroy you? Are you begging Jesus to leave you? Or are you begging Jesus to let you be with him? You know, you and I aren't supposed to be observers in Christianity. We're supposed to be participants. That's our purpose. Jesus transforms lives, and our job is to tell that to the world. You know, when the power to split the atom, the ability to split the atom, became discovered, that was a big day. Huge, huge thing in science. And with this newfound discovery, entire cities could be powered. Entire cities could be blown up. This power was great, and we had to make some decisions. How would we use it? How would we allow it to be used? Who would we let develop it? Would we keep certain countries from it? One thing about this power, though, it could not be ignored. It had to be dealt with. We see that with the power of Jesus. We know he has the power to transform lives. No man or woman is too lost that they can't be saved by Jesus. What will you and I as his followers do with this power? It can't be ignored. We either choose not to show it and teach it, or we are out there telling that story of how Jesus can transform. The next time in your life that you feel like Satan has the upper hand, I want you to remember this story. Remember the power Jesus had over these demons. How they begged and came to him. Satan is powerful, but his power does not hold a candle to that of God. We got to remember that as his followers. Jesus had the power to cast out these demons in this man's life, and he had the power to make this man well. And he has that same power to do that in our lives, church, as well. If you're struggling with demons in your life today, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with temptation, if you are not a Christian, he has the power to change your life, to save you, to make you well. Put him on a baptism. Have your sins washed away. Become a Christian. Have the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you, direct you. Have that eternal home. If you've taken that step, but the world's pulled you back, Satan has pulled you back, cast him aside. Pray to God. If you want the prayers of the church, we're here to do that for you this morning, to help you. That's what we do. We are a family that helps each other as we all walk with God to that eternal home. If you have a need or if you have some good news to report, whatever you have, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.